Hello, loves. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WPEN. So, doing a topic that actually I never thought about doing until we had a caller yesterday who talked about being blind, being with her seeing eye dog, and almost getting run over. And that was during a show we did about the whole vision test thing. And you got to make sure that if you haven't submitted your vision test to the DMV, by tomorrow, by Friday, that you basically could be in a world of hurt. So I said, hey, we should do a show because I know we have a lot of listeners who are blind, and I honestly don't know how you do it. Because even losing functional vision in my right eye for a while, a couple of years ago, it was not a lot of fun. And I've said this before, the most embarrassing thing about having one eye, well, there's two embarrassing things. Number one, I wore an eye patch because it just made things a lot more, I don't know, balanced. And if you wear an eye patch, everybody has to be a comedian and say, "Arg," as if you're wearing the eye patch because you're playing pirate. If you see somebody wearing an eye patch, don't be in douchebag and say, "Arg," because they're wearing it for a perfectly good reason. You know, I think anybody who does that should take a kick in the nads personally, but that's just me. So the other thing is, I've never done this topic before. And I said I'd do it, so I'm doing it. How difficult is it to navigate the world without your eyesight? I mean, just one eye lost made me misjudge a step, and I ended up falling down my side stairs. And it was just, I think it was more injurious to my pride than anything else. I just remember, like, I easily could have gotten up, but I just remember being on the floor and not wanting to get up because it was so damned embarrassing. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to hear what it's like. What is a day in the life like in Western New York for somebody who can't see? And do your other senses take over for your inability to visually comprehend the world around us? I sound like Jim McLaughlin from the old WBEN. Newsday at noon, an award-winning look at the world around us. There's a take back, huh? Or throwback, actually. Tom, anyway, is with us in South Buffalo with his closing thoughts. He's got an iPhone, which apparently tells him what color he's wearing and what he's buying at the grocery store. And you're back with us on WBEN.
Yes, and if you have trouble, you can. There's an app called Be My Eyes, and there's volunteers all around the world that will pick their phone up and tell you what color your outfit is. If you're going out for the night and you really need something to match perfect, they will help you do that part. So that's nice.
How about tying a tie? You wear ties? I'm not trying to be a jerk here. Do you wear ties?
I do wear ties, but not anywhere near like you would have to because you're in the business. But I would definitely need Be My Eyes for that because it'll tell me what color it is, but it might not match. It might be a green tie with a gray. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure what matches what matches. Women know these things, but guys don't. You know what I mean?
No, I was thinking more about the length of the front of the tie versus the back of the tie.
Oh, no.
There's a lot of younger people who don't even know how to tie a tie.
I could teach you in 5 minutes with your eyes closed how to do that. I don't understand what the problem is there. It's so easy. I don't get it. You know, put it around your neck. You bring the skinny end down.
I know we don't need the explanation. All due respect, but
well,
you're going to say something.
That's how blind people do it. But you were talking about microwaves. There's a couple of dots on there. Like I think I got one on a one, one on a two. Now, if I need everything I do is probably 55 seconds, 55 seconds. So the two is right underneath the five. You just press that twice and press the start button. The start button's always down at the bottom where the door opens up. That's not, you don't need a dot for that. So that's easy. You know what I mean? Cutting grass, I got an 8-foot copper tubing, a half-inch copper tubing, the same thing you have in your basement. I cut it in half. There's one sticks on one side of the yard, one sticks on the other side of the yard. You got a rope going between the two. Now, you have a 22-inch cut lawnmower, right? So you're going to move the poles every 16 inches. The distance between my elbow and the middle finger is 16 inches. So you just move the pole over 16 inches, and you cut. You're going to go all the way up the yard like that. Wow. Weed whacking is no problem. You just go, you just bend over and feel, okay, I got that part. Okay, I got that part. That's how you do weed whacking. I got a pool, a 4.5-foot pool. It's a saltwater pool. What I do there is I take my water and I go over to Gary Pool and I say, test it. They check the pool and they say, oh, my chemicals are always perfect. It's just salt. The salt drops every year. It goes down to 1,700. You got to get it up to 2,800, 3,000. So I go home and I put a bag of salt in there, run my generator, and then I take a strip, a testing strip, and I stick it in the pool. Then I go in the house and I lay it on it's got to be a white napkin, and then I open up the app and it reads the chemicals to me and tells me, and it's perfect every year. I never had a green pool. Even we went out there and now my pool would be blue. It's crystal clear.
Now that's amazing. I mean, you've got all of the. Have you ever thought about writing a book on life hacks for people who are blind?
The name of that one book was called The Country of the Blind, but Neil Simon's grandson, he did a nice job. He went to Minnesota where they spent 9 months there learning how to be blind. They give you a cane that you cannot fold up because that's the first thing we do when we get a cane. We fold it up and we put it in our back pocket. But there, they got this cane. All the people there are blind. They teach you how to do this. They said, I thought, no, it's a lot of work. I know where you're going with that, but no, I'm just. I play piano. I played piano when I was 50. I had a little bit of sight. What I had to do, Tom, is I had to take my book over the Kinko's. First, I had to get permission from Hal Leonard to flip the colors inside out because I could see black background with white notes easier than the other way. I could not see the other kid at all. So They gave me permission. I went over there. So I had to spend $12 on a book or less. And $20 to have it flipped inside out, but at least I could play the piano. Now I can't do it anymore. I lost more sight, so I'm 66 years old. Now I have cartridges. Let me see if I could just turn this on for you. See, this is Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. I play guitar, too.
On the first string, 15th.
Now, you get these cartridges from the New York State Commission for the Blind. You go on the Bard website, you download the book, you put it on a cartridge, and they give you a player that you play it in. And it goes step by step by step on how to do it. It takes a 20-minute song can take me 9 months because I'm not a musician like you are. But it's a lot of fun. I got six guitars now, Tom. I started 3 years ago, and now I got six guitars.
If you're gonna talk about Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall, presumably part two, at least end the call with a D minor, would you?
Yeah. Right. Everything's all put away.
All right, and then go to G. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
You're welcome.
Good stuff. He had some unbelievable life hacks for the blind. And I'm using the word blind, and I'm not trying to be gratuitously offensive. Do you really want me to say visually impaired? I'm going to stick with blind. And I'm sorry, but having been essentially blind in my right eye, if you'd called me blind, I wouldn't have been offended. If you'd called me visually impaired, I would have looked at you and said, no, you mean blind. But that situation somewhat miraculously was taken care of. Now, if other bodily shortcomings could be properly addressed by surgery, I'd be a happy man. Here's Don. On W, like height, of course. Don in Varysburg on WBEN. Don, talking about what it's like to be blind in Western New York and how you navigate life.
Okay. I had my sight up until I was 29 years old and automobile accident. Went through two apprenticeships after high school. When I was 29 in a machine shop. Got my machinist papers, tool and die papers. Got a month off from work, went out to California. Got in an accident. Lost my sight. Couldn't see, smell, taste, or hear.
Oh.
Got my hearing back.
Can we turn his volume up, please, Tanner? All right, go ahead, Don. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was having a little... You were just a little bit low volume-wise because apparently apparently I've substituted the vision of my right eye for a precipitous decline in hearing. So Don, this is a story that I've heard before. We had a caller, and this is another reason I'm doing the show today, because we had a caller who was on a road in Clarence, as I recall, was T-boned and lost his vision traumatically. No warning, just the accident, and lost his vision. And this happened to you. No warning. No, hey, your glaucoma, you know, your numbers, your intraocular pressure is way up. We got to do something about this. Just one minute you can see, the next minute you can't. Medically, in layman's terms, can you explain what happened to cause you to lose the sight in your body? Was it like optic nerve damage? What happened?
Double barrel. I lost, when I had my accident, one was to the eye, the other was to the optic nerve. It was all head injuries. Like I said, I couldn't see, smell, taste, or hear. You know, my doctor, 2 weeks later, after I came out of the coma or whatever I was in, you know, that, whatever they do, you know, he hugged me and says, I don't get a chance to talk to too many people to give last rites to.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay, the accident happens, you wake up blind. How I've got to ask you this, that is, by any measure or metric, a traumatic situation. And traumatic situations can lead to depression. You'd be abnormal if it didn't lead to depression. How bad was it? How long did it last?
To tell you the truth, okay, the hospital really told me all these facts. That morning, I could have probably turned my head and said, it's over, I'm done. I didn't want it. Stayed alive. Like I said, my parents, I was with my girlfriend at the time in California. They all stood by me. You know, California says, okay, I had to stay there for 2 months. We're going to come back to New York State. And, you know, the Blind Association, everything was kind of going into gear. You still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, you know, they said, okay, you know, they knew what I, you know, that I was, you know, at that time a tool and die maker. They says, you know, there's talking to my chronometers. And or barrel micrometers, talking calipers, there's things for you. I kind of thought, okay, you're going to come from California, and you're going to come home, and this stuff don't exist, but it did. So I got into the Blind Association. You know, I had a lathe. I changed the lathe over into like a Dynatab. I started running a machine. They used to have sheltered workshops, so I was said, okay, I'm going to work in the sheltered workshops. The counselor I had at the time was the greatest guy from the Blind Association. Said, you know what? You're going to go into industry. He says, you're way too qualified for this. So he had people from Westinghouse, Trico, Moog, Harrison Radiator. They all came, watched me on the machine. They all said, okay, come on in for an application. You know what I mean? So that was, you know, they did the dinner for him, the whole thing, you know, the little seminar. The blind guy on the machine. So anyway, Moog, they took me in at that time for a program. It was called like a CETA program, a private industry council. So I worked there for 6 months, and I ended up getting hired there. Back in, the accident happened in 79. I just retired a few years ago. I worked for Moog for 37 years, running the machines there, working in a stockroom.
Well, that's...
In the meantime, I had a wife. Amazing. The wife stood by me. Got married.
And this wasn't the girlfriend from California. This is another lady?
No, I was with my girlfriend in California. We both went out there.
And you're married now?
Yes.
And she married you. Okay, I'm just curious.
Married, come home, 82. I got hired at Moog. We got married end of 82. By 85, I had 3 sons. Bought a house. Everything was looking up. You know, we had a lot of people behind me, and everything was good. Like I said, family. You know, you talk about, you know, doing this, doing that. And then, you know, to me, I never got the dog. Tried the dog. Wasn't concerned with the dog because the dog was more habitual thing. You know, dog goes down, gets on the bus stop, goes, and we got to go to the bank, got to go here, got to, you know, I didn't have like a routine. You know what I mean? I lived in the city, and I moved to the country. But I had people all around me my whole life. You know, friends, relatives, they're always, you know, want to help me. You know, I hunt. I got deer 7 years in a row. I got a gun that's got a pistol scope on the end of it. The guy behind me tells me when to shoot. I got a turkey, same situation. Got a speeding ticket, fishing, for speeding in a boat. You know, but there's things to do, you know, and if you want to do them, like I said, you can do them.
I think the most hilarious thing would have been if the officer on the lake had said, sir, are you blind? And you would have looked at him and said, actually, yes, I am.
No, here's what happened. We were speeding. We were coming under the bridge in Chautauqua. And then my buddy says, open it up. I'm driving. And then all of a sudden, lights are flashing. He's pulling us over. And it says, my cousin said that time, let's switch spots because I got to give him the title, you know, while he's going to look at the boat. So we switched positions. And I turned my head and was like, you know, I had sunglasses on that, you know, and had my hands in the water. And he never said, get out of the boat, because if he said, get out of the boat, then we would have been actually sunk, a little pun there. But, but he never even knew it. He never even knew that I couldn't see it. I was driving a boat, you know.
Oh, dude. Great call. Thank you very much. It's amazing the adaptations that so many of our callers have made to becoming blind. And the fact that the guy's girlfriend stayed with him. And look, there are some people in this world, male and female, who, hey, you run into health issues, they're gone. I mean, they can't deal with it. They don't do emotions, and they don't do physical injuries. They just aren't equipped for it. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN, or so I'm told anyway.
We don't need no
Tanner Saunders. This is a D minor chord. Let's just keep this up. Okay, we're still on D minor here.
Teacher, leave them kids alone.
And now we're going to go to G. Ah, got it. All right. And yeah, I can't do the solo. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Doing a show that, you know what, gang? I've never done a show on this before. But yesterday, I don't know why I'm talking like Foghorn Leghorn suddenly. Yesterday we had a call from a lady who talked about what it was like taking her seeing eye dog and walking and almost getting run over by a car. I think it happened a couple of times to her. And I said, you know what? That's a darn good topic, because blindness is something in which I have had, and I don't know why, but an interest for quite some time. I was the host of a telethon for the radio reading service like 30 years ago, and it's just, it is of interest to me. I mean, people who have every working sense available can get caught up in funks and depressions. I said funks and depressions and stuff like that. And yet the people who are calling in who are blind somehow find a way to live what seems to be happy, productive, and awesome lives. And they've come up with these amazing life hacks for being blind. So your story, I mean, what happened to you? Blind at birth? Was it a disease process? Was it a traumatic injury situation? It could happen to anybody at any time. Any one of us could be in a car crash and suffer severe injuries to the head, which destroy the optic nerve, possibly the eyeball itself. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong with the human body. And to me, I'm probably in the minority on this, but maybe not. I mean, if I'm in a car accident and I wake up in the hospital and they say, Tom, we've got some good news and some bad news. You are going to be just fine and dandy. Yeah, you're going to be on morphine the rest of your life, which actually would be the good news. But the problem is you're never going to be able to see again. I would probably start looking for the highest window I could find. And I'm not trying to be melodramatic, but of all of the senses of the human body, losing the vision would be one that, frankly, I would not want to live that way. But many of you have found a way to do it, and you seem very, very happy. I just personally don't know that at this point in my life I would want to. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, that's where I say to my kids, you know, I've really wanted to visit Three Sisters Islands at the Falls again. Perhaps you could escort me there. And I mean, I look, I'm just being honest with you. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what's in my heart and in my soul. That's a one sense that I don't think I could live without. I can't put it any more bluntly than I'd rather lose my manhood than my eyesight. 803, and there's an obvious joke there, but we're not going to tell you the joke. 803, yeah, Tom, that died about 10 years ago. What you talking about, Willis? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. So, I mean, these stories are very, very inspirational. But I on the other side of it, I do know of suicides, and I'm just telling you the other side. People that I have known in my life who have gone blind because of disease processes have actually taken their own lives because they did not wish to live in a blind world. And you know what? I can't. Who am I to pass judgment on something like that? Because I can't tell you that I wouldn't have the same kind of thought process. And you know, life is sacred and all that stuff. But if I can't do the things that I enjoy doing, we got into this during the euthanasia show. Why bother? I mean, it's been fun. It's been a riot. But no, thank you. No, thank you at all. But don't let my opinion sway you. Obviously, you haven't. Here is Jack on WBEN. Jack, welcome to the program. What's your story?
Hi, Tom. Thanks very much. In a nutshell, I was totally sighted till I was about 25 years old, and then I was diagnosed with a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, RP, which is a genetic mutation. Which slowly you lose your eyesight. You don't lose it overnight. It's one drop at a time. It took about 15 years to go from 20/20 vision to being totally blind, which is what I am now.
Oh.
Fortunately, in my journey, I started playing the electric guitar when I was about 16 years old. And B.B. King and Eric Clapton and the Allman Brothers, I was so into that music, not knowing that that would be my life, the rest of my life. So, matter of fact, I know your brother very well. I've jammed with him many times. And so music was the salvation in my life. But I would just say a couple of tips for anybody that's losing. It is a very depressing thing to go through. However, the audio world is a beautiful, beautiful place. Most people that are sighted never really take the time to listen because we have video for everything now. I remember when MTV came out. I mean, we used to listen to albums. You're talking about Dark Side of the Moon. We would listen to the album at my friend's living room, and we would try to sit right between the speakers so we could get the stereo image. And we really listened. We listened to the bass and the guitar and how the changes went. We went to record stores, and we saw Larry Carlton's on this album, and whatnot. So I was fortunate to have music in my life. And I've been playing guitar and a local entertainer here in Buffalo for probably 35, 40 years. Matter of fact, I'm setting up for a gig right now as we speak. The other, I think, most important thing, there is so much tech out there to help blind people. The iPhone, very important. VoiceOver works beautifully on it. I can send texts. I can send emails. I can surf the web, and I can listen to anything on YouTube. I also have a full-blown multi-track recording studio in my house, and I've written hundreds of songs, none of which anybody have listened to, but I have nonetheless written them. I have found a way to enjoy my life very much, and a big part of it is Audible. The Apple, I have an Apple phone, and the Audible program is absolutely fantastic. Books that are read to you by professional actors, I never was a very good reader when I was young. I think probably because I was having trouble with my eyesight. But when I started listening to Audible, I've read hundreds and hundreds of books. And it's a big part of my life. You don't need sight for that. If you're watching football, which I'm not going to be watching probably for a while, if you listen on the radio, you'll get all the information you need. Watching TV,
wow.
You don't even know what's going on half the time because they're talking about everything other than the play that's taking place. So, and one of the key things, I think, for me is having a good sense of humor, being well-read, because you are going to need help throughout your life. I have a life partner who's a great singer, and she does a lot of things. Obviously, she drives and does things, and we work together in music. And if you can tell a joke, and if you have a little bit of knowledge, you can talk on different subjects, you're going to find that people are going to want to be around you. Let's pick up Jack. Jack's a blast. Jack's fun. I always have a good time when I'm with him. But if you complain about your problem, the truth of the matter is, let's face it, Tom, nobody wants to hear a downer no matter what. We all have problems. So I've found a way to, I listen to a lot of stand-up comedy. I laugh, and I have friends that I have developed over the years that are also blind, and we get together. Matter of fact, it's Wednesday night. We'll all be together tonight from about 9:30 to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning in our own homes using Zoom, and we all have recording studios. We pass our audio through. So I'm playing my guitar. My buddy's playing his drums. The other guy's playing piano in a different location. We're very close to having the latency down that we could all jam at the same time. It's coming very close. But we throw back a few beers. We tell some jokes. We listen to music. We listen to YouTube comedy. And we just have a really good time. And the world of audio is so beautiful. Tom, you would know that because you're an audio person.
Well, and I after, just last, learn... after last week's show on vinyl versus CD, there seems to be some considerable debate on that. This is Jack Civiletto, right?
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. Yes.
Okay. I just thought I should give you a plug for your gig. This is a question that I have to ask you. Let's say, you've got your muscle memory down. You've got your chords down for the songs that you've learned over the years when you were still sighted, right? And then yes. A song comes on and you're like, oh my God, I've got to put this in the gig. Do you just pick it out by ear, or do you go online and get the chords read to you and then learn it that way?
Okay, because I've done all this. First of all, I had to learn to play. I was sighted when I started playing, and then I lost my sight. So I had to learn how to navigate the neck without sight. I remember making a conscious effort of, used to put a little light. Remember the itty-bitty book light they used to have when you'd read a book? It was a battery-operated light. Well, it would fit on my 335 on my my pick guard, and it would shine a light on my neck because I had peripheral vision for a long time. As I said, I didn't lose my sight, overnight. So I kept trying to look closer to the neck. I looked like Mel Bay on the front of that book. But anyway, I used all these tools to try to see better in the dark because I was playing a lot of bars and nightclubs. And I remember making a conscious decision one day that, I'm going to lose my sight. Forget looking at all. You have to learn to play without sight at all. So what I did was I mapped out on my guitar, like I can go down from E or F at the bottom of where the nut is. I can work my way all the way to the top of the neck by taking steps. I know that two steps up from here is in my next position. There's a lot of music I can make in that position. Two more steps brings me here. One more fret moves me into this direction. It's coming back down that's difficult because that's where I don't have any visual references. So I was able to do that. And you can also play all of the music, all the chords and all the notes in every song could be played in one position. You really don't have to move around the neck that much. So I learned how to get as much music as I could out of one position.
With the open chords, I presume?
Yeah, well, any place, like even if you put me in B-flat up on, I don't know what that'd be, 5th or 7th fret or whatever, if I'm in that one position, the pentatonic scale is one position you can go up and down all day long. Variations on that same pentatonic scale have all the notes of the entire audio spectrum is in there. Of course, you can't go up maybe an octave higher. That involves moving. So I get a lot of mileage just staying in one position. I can play all 7 wow. chords and play all the inversions and everything just staying in one position. All the music is in there. So
hey, Jack,
it required...
A show I've never done before, and I was inspired to do it by a call we had late yesterday on what it's like to be blind. because it affects like 6 to 10% of the American people. So 6 to 10% of you listening right now have severe vision issues, and that would mean that probably 30% of you know somebody closely who has vision issues. And one of those people is local musician Jack Civiletto. So, Jack, if I sneaked into one of your gigs and I put a capo on your guitar, would it really – would you laugh, or would you just swing the guitar at me and hope you hit me?
I'd probably just figure out where you put the capo and just play within that space.
I'm sorry.
Here's a couple of quick jokes. They're quick, okay? When I started dating, this was the worst part, is losing my eyesight, because like a couple callers said, he has difficulty finding anybody that wants to be with a blind person. Well, I remember when I got diagnosed, I was very upset, and the doctor said, "What's bothering you?" I said, "Well, I'm worried that I'm not going to have relationships with, you know." And he said, "Well, listen, when you meet girls, just let them know that blindness is not contagious." Well, I'm here to tell you that that's a fallacy. It's very contagious. Every time I meet a girl, by the second date, she can't see me no more.
Oh, jeez, this is awful.
And but, I went out with one blind girl. She had a lazy eye. The whole time she was seeing me, she was seeing another guy on the side.
Oh, jeez.
So, you got to have a little sense of humor. I'm just telling this to anybody who's visually impaired or blind. Because if you can keep people laughing like you do, Tom, I listen to your show because you make me laugh a lot. If you were just down all the time, I would turn the station off. So I think that's an important thing, be able to talk on a few subjects and have a good sense of humor. And you'll have friends because you are going to need help getting through this life without sight.
Yeah, this is true. But I want to get back to the whole dating thing. I mean, I don't know what you look like, but I was going to say, and neither do you right now. Okay, see, we are two guys who play guitar, and we just have a built-in rapport. Okay, I'm not very good. Jack is outstanding. But you've got a great personality, obviously, and you're a guitar player. And you and I both know that the minute you go up on stage and you start playing guitar, women who would not give you a second glance suddenly want to be with you in the parking lot during the break.
Especially in the 70s.
Well, we're not going to talk about the 70s.
Things are at their phone. They don't even know you're playing. So.
Really?
Well, you know what I mean? In the 70s, it was different. But today, you know, I mean, the complaint, like even your brother and I, the biggest issue that we're up against is how do we get a younger generation to put the cell phones down, turn off cable TV, and get in their car and drive out and hear live music? And when they do arrive, actually listen, because people listen with their eyes. I just went to see Peter Gabriel at the theater a couple months ago, and the show was amazing. There were all kinds of laser beams, none of which I could see. So I'm just listening to the music itself, and I came away enjoying the music. But all of the visual stuff, most people don't even want to listen to the music because they're waiting for the laser beams and all that stuff. So
I don't know, man, because a lot of the local venues do pretty darn well, depending on the act they have performing. Jack, I got to move on, but good luck at your gig tonight. Good luck.
Yeah,
and
thanks, Tom.
People can track you on Jim Kedrina's website on Facebook.
Right, exactly. Yes, he does that, right.
Okay, thank you very much. Jim Kedrina is the guy. Jim is what Gusto in the newspaper used to be, and his name is Jim, which I don't need to spell, but Kedrina is Kadryna. So if you ever want to know where Jack or everybody is playing in Western New York, that is a good place to start. In fact, it's the only place people go to find out who's playing where.